Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with actor Jordan Brown, who is performing for the first time at the Oslo Repertory Theater in Shakespeare in Love and Row. Listen to this charming, delightful young man. Talk about the tug of war between a love of basketball and a love of theater. Listen to him describe how he came to know what is his passion. It's a charming story. Hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down from nowhere, sitting in my own soft lap, with all the time for us to chat, and my resources, oh,
welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are. That is not the person you think you're supposed to be. Not the person other people seem to be. Not the person other people seem to want you to be. Not even the person you now think you are, but the person you actually are. For many people, experiences in their childhood convince them that some of the things about them are not okay. Some of the things that are natural to them are unattractive or ugly or dangerous. And because children are extremely flexible, they are able to pretend that they are not this thing which is causing them criticism, punishment, teasing, embarrassment. And when they get good enough at pretending that this quality, this ability, this interest is not there, they come into adulthood having forgotten important things about themselves with a limited version of who they really are. When you are in denial for things that are true of you, life is more difficult than it has to be. And when you can be the person that you really are, life is easier. So I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And it is my hope that when you listen to them, you are inspired to ask yourself, is this true of me? Do I feel this way about the things that I do in my life? Am I really the person I was meant to be? And if it turns out that that's not true, that you think that there are some things about you for which you are in denial, or some things that you badly wanted to be but somehow could not make yourself do or be, and you want to talk to me about that, you can reach me at my website. That is thelynshow.com, thelynshow. I am about to play my interview with Jordan, in which you will hear a person who pays careful attention to who he is and honors his real needs. After Jordan's interview, I'm going to read Sharon Leslie's review of Shakespeare in Love. So here now is the charming and very talented Jordan.
Okay, so I'm here with Jordan Brown, and I am interviewing Jordan because he is in two shows at Oslo Rep this season. Mm-hmm. He already has starred in Shakespeare in Love, and he is also in Row?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Which is coming up later in the season.
Coming up, just started rehearsals for that.
Uh-huh, yeah. Okay, good. All right, so I interview people who make their living or their life with an art.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that the art to which you are giving your life is the art of acting. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right.
Okay, good. So I only ask one question. Do you remember the very first time in your life when acting, play acting, telling stories, any of that, that's not shaking. Shaking is back and forth. What do you call that when you're
nodding.
Going up and down? Nodding. Thank you.
Yes.
You're nodding your head, so I assume you know the answer.
Yes. Well, I always loved the movies. I saw a touring production of The Phantom of the Opera that really struck a chord with me.
Okay, but movies started before that.
Yes, since I can remember. I love going out in the neighborhood with my friends and making believe. But film really struck a chord with me. Definitely Spielberg had an extremely huge impact in my life, you know, for everything from E.T. to Jurassic Park. It really always just had a very, very large impact on my life, and
yes.
I was transfixed. It's not even something that's
conscious.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not conscious or calculated. It just, it kind of sucks you in.
Yeah. Okay, so you're having these experiences,
mm-hmm.
but you're not thinking, I can do this, or I will do this, or any of that.
No, I was kind of just living my life, trying to get through school. I spent a lot of time daydreaming and kind of having my head in the clouds. I also love to draw.
Ah.
That's a significant thing. I drew a lot, and I loved looking at comic books and copying what other artists had done while having a movie on in the background. I was the oldest of five children, but I isolated myself a lot in the basement and would draw and watch movies on TV. And
so there's all of this imagination going on.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that's the
absolutely.
That's the through line.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, so high school.
I played basketball. I played a little bit of lacrosse and baseball. But there was a new drama teacher who came into my high school. Her name was Julie Shaw. So she was fresh into the school as a teacher, trying to build up a little bit of a theater program in the school. And of course, she was having a tough time trying to encourage students to, hey, you know, come try this. You know, let's put on a play. Let's put on a show.
Not to mention boys.
That's exactly right. You are right on the money with that. Because boys really, you know, would shirk the idea the minute it was proposed to them. But she managed to convince me and another basketball player to come do this show called The Diviners. I was a freshman. You know, I think she'd had me in speech and debate class.
Mm-hmm. And already you're articulate and charming, and you're cute. So
thank you. I think she latched on to that.
Exactly, right.
I have to go back because all this history is coming back to me.
Yeah.
This is kind of fun. In eighth grade, I had a teacher named Mrs. Steinberg. Loved her dearly. She really had an impact on my young life. It was English class. We would read Shakespeare plays or books aloud, and I thought that was immensely valuable. She encouraged me into a speech and debate class even before high school, and I ended up doing a scene with a classmate of mine from To Kill a Mockingbird. And we won first place. That was actually the first moment that really grabbed me. And then Mrs. Steinberg said to me, Jordan, before you go into high school, I think you should look into this summer program. It's called the Cambridge Prep Experience. So I applied, I got accepted, and I ended up spending a summer between my 8th grade and 9th grade year for 3 weeks in England studying drama, minoring in public speaking. I have to say, when I look back, it was one of the biggest impacts on my life. It set me up for Julie Shaw. So then she brought me on. I had a small role in The Diviners. We're in tech, right? I'm standing off in the wing. I'm watching this tech that's happening. I'm watching them set lights. You know, there's a scene in the play where the diviner who can find water with the stick is trying to save a young man who's fallen into this rushing river and they're underwater. And then they'd come up for a minute for breath. The lights would change and then the sound would dim and then we'd go back under. And I'm watching this and it just kind of hit me. I don't know what it was. I just had a moment where I was so invested in what was happening on stage and I was so invested in the process of setting the lights and all these collaborative efforts coming together and everybody working together to tell a story. And that was it. I was hooked. I remember just thinking, okay, this is it. I gotta stick with this. And to this day, I owe Julie Shaw quite a lot. I really do, because she kind of pushed me, you know, and I think she knew, come on, you can do this. Hey, you can work around it with basketball practice, you know. I ended up my junior year of high school going in to have a talk with my basketball coach. I'll never forget taking that journey down the stairs to his office. I was very nervous because he was someone who was also a little bit of a personal champion for me. And we were getting ready to do a production of The Laramie Project. It was taking up more and more of my time. And basketball season is very long. And I had made a decision that it was time for me to put down basketball and focus on acting. And I had this talk with him and I said, Coach, I'm at an impasse here. I can go this way at the fork or this way, and I think I need to go this way. And it moves me because I think he understood, you know, he could have just as easily made his case, you know, but he nodded at me and he said, okay, I think this is the direction you need to go. And he supported me and he was very sweet about the whole thing and he encouraged me. Between my junior and senior year, Julie Shaw encouraged me to apply for the American Academy of Dramatic Arts 6-week summer program in New York City. So I applied. I got in. This was the moment this summer between my junior and senior year of high school that made me realize I wanted to pursue a conservatory training program for college as opposed to taking the liberal arts college or maybe going to a university. So I did that summer program and that kind of prepared me in consulting with Julie Shaw about the type of training programs I wanted to apply for, because we're getting to that time, you know, right. You're thinking about college, you need to start applying. So of course the first packet I got was Juilliard. And then Julie Shaw said, okay, and then there's Carnegie Mellon, maybe Cal Arts. And then she said, you know, there's this program in North Carolina, the North Carolina School of the Arts. And I really think you need to consider this. So I did. I applied to all these programs. I went to New York, and I remember, you know, I'm in New York. I'm at Lincoln Center. I'm literally in euphoria. And I had made friends with this young man who was also auditioning. And we did the first round of auditions. The lobby area of their building, they have a corkboard, and they tack up 2 sheets of paper. The men, the ladies who have got a callback, you know, it's a very short list. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of kids who audition. And by the time they put them up, everybody's crowding around the corkboard. And there's like a huge group of kids. And I'm kind of just standing in the back, you know. And I remember this young man I made friends with goes up, looks, and he turns. And he looks at me. And I'm sitting, and he's like, you got a callback. I'm like, what? What? And I didn't, you know, because in my mind, I'm like, okay, this was a great experience. Who knows? You know, you don't really have expectations. Well, I got a callback. Bounding out of Lincoln Center, I remember I ran across to that Barnes & Noble and called my mother, tell her and everything. And then I go in, I do the interview with Michael Kahn, who was the dean of the drama program. And they have you do a cold reading. And it was very intimidating because the whole faculty's in there kind of looking at you, sizing you up. And here I am, this 17-year-old boy. Sort of ended up getting a handwritten letter from Michael Kahn. And he said, young man, thank you so much for your audition. Unfortunately, we're not going to accept you. You're a very young 17-year-old. Uh-huh. He's like, but do your undergrad and come back, you know. And I thought, okay.
But that's pretty amazing that he...
It was really great. I mean, for me, it wasn't so discouraging because I thought, okay, I didn't get it. But I still think this is something for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, so did he.
Exactly.
Right?
So then I get a call from Robert Bessida. himself a Juilliard grad, and the assistant dean of the drama program at the North Carolina School. He says, listen, Jordan, before you decide, please come visit the campus and then make your decision. And I thought, okay. So I go, visit the campus, I drop in on some classes, and instantly I'm hooked. I know this is it. This is where I want to go. I loved also that it wasn't in a big city. It was a good place to focus, to kind of daydream. You know, there's beautiful nature in North Carolina. I mean, it's a gorgeous part of the country, and I kind of love that. And I love the other students I met there who were themselves freshmen or sophomores or whatever. So that ultimately became my decision. I went to which is now the University of the North Carolina School of the Arts. But when I went there, it was a private institution. We were on a trimester program, and then things changed a little bit. Now it's one of the 12 campuses of the UNC, and it's a state-run program on a two-semester.
And how long were you there?
4 years.
Four years. Wow.
Yeah, 4 years undergrad. It was I graduated in 2007, studied drama. They have academic courses as well, academic studies that you do on the side so you can get your BFA. But my focus was drama. And they've got a beautiful music program. They've got a dance program, a film program, filmmaker program. So, yeah, as you see, the story just keeps unfolding. And ultimately that, you know, there I was before I knew it.
So you're out of school.
Mm-hmm.
So a thumbnail of what's happened between then and now.
So a thumbnail, we do something called a consortium or a showcase in New York, where you get seen by agents, managers, I think even some casting directors come to scout the new talent, the fresh meat, so to speak. And we also were the first class from UNCSA to do an LA consortium. Mm-hmm. We actually raised our own money to go to LA as well, because we thought that could be useful.
For obvious reasons.
Right. Yeah. So, right. But long story short, I end up graduating. I go to New York. I end up landing an agent, Don Buchwald and Associates, out of New York City. I moved to Astoria, Queens. I lived there right next to the old beer gardens. It was at the end of the line, the N and the Q train line.
You're the only person there who's not Greek.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm one of the few people who probably looked like me in that neighborhood.
I mean, that's right.
This bright-eyed Kansas boy wandering around not knowing his butt from his elbow.
It's not his soul.
Yeah. What was so great, I have to tell you this, my landlord of the place I lived in, her name was Maria Avramidis.
Yes.
And this woman was, I mean, she was mean as spit.
Oh,
she barely spoke a lick of English. And of course, there were months where I was late on rent, and she'd come over and she'd rap on the door with her broom. She was this tiny little woman. And she had a motor on her. And you could practically hear her coming from across the street. I mean, she was a dear, dear woman and just a character right out of a play. And I kind of adored her in my own right. But I was terrified of this woman also at the same time. So to move through the thumbnail, if I'm being brutally honest, I experienced some real culture shock. I mean, despite my summer of my 6 weeks I spent at the Academy of Dramatic Arts, you know, that summer between my junior and senior year, I wasn't prepared for New York and what it was like to live there. And to make a long story even shorter, I kind of lost my way a little bit. I was waiting tables on the in Hell's Kitchen on 49th and 9th Avenue, and you know, barely making ends meet, and you know, not doing as much acting as I would have loved to have been doing, you know, falling in and out of communication with my agent. And after 3 years, I decided I need to find a change. I need to mix things up. I'm not saying I'm leaving New York for good, but I need to reset my inner clock. Mm-hmm. I need to reset my mechanism because I'm lost.
Yeah, I got it.
And that was the truth. So I ended up going to Chicago because I had a former teacher from UNCSA, named Greg Walter, another teacher, another mentor.
Yeah.
He was a singing teacher at school who I really connected with. And here's a little bit of interesting serendipity for you. So while Julie Shaw was new to as a teacher at my high school when I was coming into high school, my first year at UNCSA was Greg's first year as a teacher. So it's like we kind of just met, you know. And he had spent a lot of his professional career in Chicago. That's where he cut his teeth as a professional. Mm-hmm. And as you probably very well know, Chicago has a fantastic theater community, and it's first rate. You know, between Steppenwolf, The Goodman, Chicago Shakespeare Theater, it's really first rate. And I thought it was a place, especially as a young man from the Midwest myself, it was a place where maybe I could find a little bit of a rhythm there and get back on my feet.
Yeah, simpatico.
Exactly. So 2010, I go to, after 3 years in New York, I go to Chicago. And things really just started clicking. Mm-hmm. I got an agent right away. I booked a show at Northlight Theater, which is in Skokie, Illinois, just outside of the city of Chicago. I started as an understudy, and then 2 weeks into rehearsal, an actor was released, is the nice word I'll use. I'm fired, basically, but released. And I was bumped up from understudy right into one of the roles,
wow,
which was great. So I should also mention that Lynn Baber, who is the former casting director of that theater, also went to UNCSA. Mm-hmm. So I had that in common. So I had all these people that Greg Walter was kind enough to put me in touch with in Chicago. He said, here's people you need to call. Here are people that you should connect with. So that's what happened. And to kind of zoom through it, I really kind of fell into myself. And I felt like I was starting to earn my stripes, so to speak, as an actor.
Yeah.
It was my second education, in a way.
Perhaps we should talk about Shakespeare in Love and Row.
Absolutely. Great.
Okay.
Great.
Shakespeare is still running, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long is it running?
Through the end of March.
Good. So say something about it.
If you got the chance to see the fantastic film that came out in 97, 98,
mm-hmm,
and enjoyed that, you'll certainly enjoy this. I think it's an argument for the arts, for the existence of the arts. I think it says something about the beautiful collaborative effort of theater. In this production, we have music. There's underscoring. We have a live guitarist. We've got a dog. We've got a young actor named Addison who's, I think he's 12 years old,
yeah,
who's in our production. You've really got all these gorgeous elements. There's a little bit of dance. There's sword play. There's fighting on stage. I mean, really, almost every element you could think of is in this production.
Extremely well written, and it's funny, and it's adorable, and you're amazing in it.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
The cast is great.
When I auditioned, I went in for Ned Allen, and then Rachel, the director, stopped me, and she said, I think we need to look at Will. And I went, oh, well, fantastic. You know, she gave me like 15 pages of material, and I think I had like a day to kind of go through it all, and then
mm-hmm,
came back in and auditioned, and here I am.
Okay, so talk about Roe.
Row is an extremely important conversation piece that I hope does just that, that encourages conversation and debate. It talks about the actual Roe versus Wade case, basically the fight for women's freedom over their own bodies. And it was a very tumultuous time. You had Watergate, you had the war. There was a lot happening in this country. But what I think is so beautiful about this particular piece and what Lisa Loomer has done so well is that she doesn't play favorites. It doesn't get too preachy. You know, she's not just pushing for one side of this debate. She's really playing both sides of the coin. That's the brilliance of this piece, and she does it so well. And these are real people. So there's a responsibility in that as an actor, and that's a fun challenge. Of course, you don't want to be a puppet. You don't want to just reenact it or mimic. You're bringing yourself to it, but also there's a responsibility to this story that's very unique.
So I have one more question.
Please.
Having given so much of your life to the art of theater, is there anything that you would say of what it means to you, what you think about it?
This is a really good question, and it's extremely significant, especially with where I'm at in my life. I've just had a child, and there's a whole slew of responsibility that comes with that, and there's a lot of fear and excitement. Our summer, and it was a children's show. I was having a lot of fear and trepidation about this career because there's hills and valleys, and there's times where you're in between gigs and you're trying to find other income, and you got to bring your bit to the table. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to go in, I'm going to do this job, and if there's even a slight doubt in my mind whether I should be doing this, then I need to reconsider things because we got a baby coming and I need to think about the bigger picture. You go through those moments. I think every actor on the planet, you have moments where you go, do I need to reconsider my profession? And, you know, I don't know, is it worth it anymore? And then the minute you step out onto that stage, and I'm not going to get emotional.
All right.
The minute you step out onto that stage and you see the other character in the piece, which is the audience, which is so important because there's nothing like live theater. I've had a little bit of on-camera experience, and that's a beautiful experience in its own right, but there's nothing like live theater. And there's nothing like being in a room with a bunch of people who have agreed to gather together in a big, dark auditorium and watch a story. I just go, no, there's nothing else I can do. If I'm destitute, if I'm broke, if I'm struggling, that's the trade-off for getting to do something that you're so passionate about and you enjoy in the moment, is that there's highs and lows, there's hills and valleys, you know, there's feast or famine sometimes. It's, you know, it takes two to tango, and that's my wife. So that's a constant journey we're going through together because we're a team. And it's a conversation we have all the time. But she's had moments where she said to me, I've looked at her and I said, well, maybe we go back to Kansas and I get a sales job. And she goes, are you out of your mind? She's holding a baby. You know, baby's crying. She's like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to make this work. And I owe everything to her for that. So there's hills and valleys. But but it's worth it.
That's a great place to stop.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jordan. I have seen, I saw Jordan in Shakespeare in Love. He was glorious. He was absolutely glorious. Everyone in the room fell in love with him, and I can't wait for Roe. Thank you, Jordan.
Well, as I said, I hope in listening to Jordan, you heard what it sounds like to be who you really are, even when that is not easy. When you were listening to Jordan, were you thinking, is this how I feel about what I do in my life? Am I so passionate about what I do that I am willing to take the downtime? That I am willing to continue to do it even when it isn't exactly what I want. And again, if it turns out that there are things that you would like to do that you haven't been able to do, or you have questions about how to tell whether you're in denial for something that's real for you, please do go to my website, thelinshow.com. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. At my website, there's an email tab. Click on that and ask me any questions that you have or make any comments. Now, I'm going to read Sharon Leslie's review of Shakespeare in Love. Better than the movie, Shakespeare is best when seen on stage. And so, not surprisingly, is Shakespeare in Love. Who wants a camera to tell you where to look when you can have constant action, a revolving set, romance, disguises, sword fights, Queen Elizabeth herself, and a dog on the stage? The dashing Jordan Brown brings charisma and comedy to the tortured Shakespeare suffering from writer's block, Viola, his new love interest, played by the delicious Laura Rook, loosens his pen and he is freshly inspired. High energy, high jinks, and great writing will send you home in high spirits. As always, I hope you got something from this show that you can use, something that inspired you, something that amused you. I hope that it is something that will bring you down to the Oslo Repertory Theatre Company to see both Shakespeare in Love and Roe. Something that will bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you see my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang, so